VeggieCast, the podcast that you never made a deal with. I'm your host, Bria, and with me are my two co-hosts, Brian and Jay.
Hello.
Hello.
On today's episode, we introduce you to, well, the CongeeCast, the show that didn't make the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs, but does provide an Asian perspective into the galaxy far, far away. So, welcome, everyone, if you're listening to this. Thank you for joining us. As you may have guessed, we started this podcast because we wanted to give you a Asian perspective, an Asian fan's perspective, three of them, actually. So without too much further ado, I'm going to let my other two co-hosts introduce themselves first. Brian.
Hi, I am Brian Larson. I'm the founder of the Tashi Station blog and podcast network, host of Tashi Station Radio, and too many other shows over there.
Hi, I'm Jay Shaw. I'm a writer over at 1138.com and an administrator over at the Force.net message board.
And I'm Bria Lavornia. I'm the managing editor at Tashi Station, and I'm also the co-editor over at White Hot Room. So I think we wanted to start a little bit with why we wanted to do this podcast. It's something we're going to get into a little bit more in depth later on, but given that we're sort of branding ourselves as the Asian perspective, or one of many Asian perspectives, I figured we should start with that. So, Brian, Jay, do either of you guys want to jump in?
Well, I mean, I have a rule of thumb that if I'm in a direct message string that has more than 30 fired up DMs in there, I have to make a podcast out of it.
How many podcasts do you have now, Brian?
Way too many.
And I think my interest in this podcast started with some discussions we were talking about over on Twitter and other fandom discussion spaces about diversity and what that means and how that has different contexts if you're talking about gender or different ethnic groups and things like that. And I just wanted to have a discussion on that point of view.
And before we get too much further in this, I feel like we should probably, you know, disclose our ethnic backgrounds as far as the Asian part goes, since no one can actually see what we look like. Are you guys are okay with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I am Cambodian American.
Indian American.
And I'm a Chinese Italian American, so my halfsies over here. So I think we're going to start with what brought us to Star Wars originally.
A 1994 copy of the VHS tapes purchased from Costco during Christmas.
Kevin J. Anderson's Darksaber.
Oh, this Don't explains laugh. So much about you, Jay.
That's a bold admission, man.
It was a weird thing. It started with Kevin J. Anderson. I went to Michael A. Stackpole. I don't think I even watched most. I'd seen, you know, Return of the Jedi and New Hope, but I don't think I ever saw Empire until after I read the EU. It was really weird. I came backwards.
Wow.
You have the most circular route to seeing the films I think I've ever heard.
That is special, Jay.
It was fun. Oh, that's the reference to the Womp I remember from Darksaber. I get it now.
See, I feel like mine just totally normal that I saw the films when I was like 2 years old, and then eventually someone threw a glove of Darth Vader into my hand, and eventually I got the YJK and just went on from there, which might actually also explain a few things about me now that I think about it. So since we all came to Star Wars when we were younger, did we ever really feel represented on the screen when we were watching Star Wars as kids and or even as teenagers?
Oh, hell no.
No. And it was a weird thing because I guess maybe I didn't think about it at first until everyone else started pointing it out and saying, you know, oh, well, these are certain types of characters and you can't really dress as that character for Halloween or things like that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I never saw myself on screen even in the books. I was never there.
Same here. I feel like I also never quite clicked in my brain that I wasn't seeing myself, because so much of the other media that I was consuming as a kid, it looked just the same as Star Wars did, with the exception of like some of the cartoons like Mulan and everything. But I would say most of the stories that I loved, like, you just didn't see Asian people in it. And so it just seemed, oh, yeah, this is normal, which now that I think about it really sucked.
Yeah, it's kind of dark to think about it now when you look back and realize, huh, the entirety of me growing up, I maybe saw myself on screen in anything less than a handful of times.
I had Apu in The Simpsons, and that was it. And that is not a positive portrayal.
Ooh, no, no.
Oh, dear. That's, yeah. Yeah. So I guess the next question then becomes, what was the first time you did think you saw yourself represented in Star Wars?
Queen Jamilla in Attack of the Clones. And that was interesting because we never actually saw her face aside from the makeup, but we heard her accent. And it was such a revolutionary thing that when Star Wars Galaxies came out literally the year after Episode 2, I made my character look like me because you could actually do that in that game. And I had them come from Naboo because I'm like, well, that's where people who look like me come from. And it was such a, I don't know, it's like it lifted a burden that I didn't even know was there.
Boy. For me, I don't know if any, I mean, I'm sure I'm missing over something in the Clone Wars and something in the prequel trilogy, but for me, the thing that first really made a mark on me was actually Sabine showing up and me saying to myself, hey, that kind of looks like people I'm sort of related to. And yeah, that was really the first real instance that stuck out at me.
Yeah, I was actually having to sit here and wonder and figure out whether Aphra or Sabine came first. And I think it was Sabine.
I think it was Sabine just by a little bit.
Yeah. And even then, I think actually Sabine, because they've always said that she's multiracial, that lines up with me, obviously. And I think she was really the first time I sort of felt that relation, even though there had been like those bit parts that you saw throughout the prequel trilogy. I can't even remember. Oh, what's that one Jedi's name from?
Walter Swan?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, like she was the only other character who I can ever really think of as being East Asian.
Yeah, aside from the EU, there were like some random characters, except they made an entire race called the Epicanthics, which is literally they're East Asian aliens, and that's... It was not good times.
Ooh, yeah, no, that was not so well executed.
I just don't know who thought that was a good idea. Like, why?
And this is where getting diversity readers helps, because someone can point that out and just tell you, no.
Yeah, I bet it didn't even occur to them because they didn't have that perspective.
Yeah. Actually, you kind of mentioned that. So that brings up something we don't actually have in our show notes. But there was a tendency in the prequel trilogy, which I will flat out say I love the prequels. And anyone who's followed me on Twitter for more than 2 seconds knows this. But the prequels did have this tendency to take their people of color character actors and make them into alien creatures.
Yeah. Addy Galea.
Yeah. Luminara, Barriss, all of them. Was that something that, like, because we were all, what, early teenagers around that time when the prequels were coming out, somewhere in there?
I think we might have been younger than that.
I think I was like 9 to 15, but like somewhere in that range. Was that something that we think we realized at the time? Is this something we just sort of wince at when we look back now?
It's definitely something I wince at looking back now. I'm not sure if it really struck me at the time how kind of problematic that was. But looking back now, yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, I can't say it's something I noticed. It's, you know, representation is one of those things where I didn't notice when we didn't have it or when it was inadequate, but when it's actually good, oh boy, you notice when it's actually good.
Yeah, definitely. So we're going to probably talk about this more in more detail in a later episode, but how have things changed for kids today, or not even just kids, but like any Star Wars fans? I mean, I think Brian and I both mentioned Sabine as being a character where we first saw ourselves represented, but with Rebels and The Force Awakens and Rogue One, what sort of impact do we think that these films are going to have on the upcoming generation as far as representation goes?
Well, I mean, I kind of got into Star Wars in the early mid 90s. So comparing then to now, it's just a world of difference. You actually stand a shot of seeing yourself if you're something other than just a white dude consuming Star Wars media now.
Yeah, one of the things that was pointed out was like in the expanded universe, especially all the random characters in Jedi were just assumed to be white people, and it didn't occur to you until they were all piled together and you realized that there was a pattern. And now you have shows like Rebels where you realize every single person on the main cast is either a person of color or a woman or both. And it's so extraordinary to see fans and kids especially, but fans in general, being able to embrace that now.
Yeah, you know, I think there's got to be some art in like the Essential Reader's Companion that has Luke's Jedi Order there. And I'm picturing one piece in particular, but it's a bunch of white people and a couple aliens.
Is it Mara's Funeral?
That was one of them. I think there's another one as well, but I'm just drawing a blank on which piece that was. But yeah.
Well, now you're making me grab my book and look. Thank you.
Sadly, my copy of the ERC is out in the living room, and I can't grab it to look myself.
Hold on. I'm flipping through here now. 1 second. Because this is going to bother me if I don't find it.
But yeah, you're definitely right, Jay, where when you got all of those Expanded Universe, post-Return of the Jedi, Jedi in there, it was definitely a collection of white people.
Yeah. And it was something that I think, you know, in isolation, when you would see a character and you'd have them described, and a lot of times what was interesting was they wouldn't be explicitly described as anything in the books, right? Like you might get, oh, so-and-so had dark hair or something. It's just that when they finally got a portrayal, everyone just assumed they were a white character. Maybe they didn't have to be. And it's something that I think they're going out of their way now to specify when someone is of a minority appearance. It's clear in the text so that everyone knows what character we're talking about.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate that, where they're taking a lot of the ambiguity out of it now, which is Star Wars kind of skated on ambiguity of representation for a long time, so seeing it get more explicit and obvious now is very nice.
Much less white is the default.
Yes.
Okay, I can't find this picture.
Yeah.
I know it exists, but I can't find it.
I found one on...
It's got Corran Horn in there with his stupid ponytail.
Oh, Corran Horn, why? Okay, I give up.
It's somewhere in there. I'll find it. It'll dawn on me at like 3 a.m.
I mean, I know exactly. I know which one you're talking about. Ugh, I just can't find it. Right. White is the default. Also, I would say something that I really like that they've been doing is they've been finding ways to include, to make it more obvious that a character is a person of color who's not necessarily black. They're making it more obvious. I think Inferno Squad is a really good example of how they did this with Sen, because with Carice, even though the writer Claudia Gray like had an Asian actress in mind when she was writing the character, and it was something that I picked up on personally when I was reading the book, a lot of people just didn't realize that Carice was Asian. Whereas with Sen, I feel like Christy Golden just went, "Nope. Not messing around, going to directly mention that there's the epicanthral fold in here."
Yeah, and I get how it's hard, especially for people who might be white or might be outside the group they're describing, to try to avoid stereotype. And, you know, in Star Wars, you can't even use real world terms, right? You can't, even though we're talking about out of universe as characters as being Asian, you can't use that word inside Star Wars. So there is a challenge, but I think it's worth the effort of trying to figure out how to do it right.
Let's actually talk a little bit about that, Jay, because you and I recently had a confrontation. Well, I don't say confrontation. That makes it sound a little bit too dramatic.
Conversation
with someone on Twitter who used the typical, "Well, there's no Asia in space."
Yeah. And that's something we get a lot. And I think it's people being sort of pedantic for the sake of being pedantic, because I know that. Rhea, you know that. We all know that there's no Asia in space, but there are people in space, and people have what biologists call phenotypes, and I hope that's the correct word. I'm not a biologist, but you know, they have certain appearances, and when we use the word Asian, we know what we're talking about, and in universe that might be something else, but focusing on the fact that there is no Asia in Star Wars is missing the point completely, because there are people in Star Wars and they're not all white.
Yeah, when you say there's no Asia in space, or there's no Hispanic people, or there's no Indian people, it's not funny. Like, it's incredibly, incredibly irritating, and you're more likely to get slapped than to get someone to go, ha, 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 yeah, you're right.
Because it happens all the time. You're not the first person who's made that joke.
Well, and the bigger problem is more people than not aren't saying that in a joking manner. They're using it as an actual derailing tactic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you guys were all there over the last couple of years when we've had these continuous fights with people who kept insisting that characters like Aphra and characters like Sabine weren't Asian for one reason or another. It ranged from something like, oh, well, there's no Asia in space, to, oh, well, they don't actually look Asian, which to me is incredibly offensive because I'm sorry, but the entire continent of Asia does not look the same. We're not a monolith. There's a bunch of people who live on that continent. And I just found it incredibly infuriating to the point where I think I started keeping a folder on my computer that just said not white. And I would save screen caps in it anytime someone like Pablo or Matt Martin or Kieran Gillen would say flat out, well, you know, this Aphra or Sabine isn't white. They would be played by an Asian actress, et cetera, et cetera.
And people like to say, well, you know, the story should justify this or the story should justify that. But you never have to justify a person who is a white male. And it's a little weird that you say that as you have to justify a character's background, where a character's background is just what they are. And I think all we are asking for is for Star Wars to be essentially just like real life, where there are all different sorts of people who get to have their own stories, and we want to follow along with those stories. And if Star Wars is escapism, which is another thing we hear a lot, we want our escapism too. Everyone wants their escapism in Star Wars.
And if there being people of color in Star Wars is somehow diminishing your escapism value, you got to come to Jesus. Hey, let's take a look at what's actually up with you here.
And I think that brings us to the Versio in the room. Yes, no?
And the Versio in the room is good, I think.
Jay, did you want to take the lead on this particular one, or would you like me to talk about it a little bit?
Sure. I mean, I guess I can get started on it. So Iden Versio, for those of you who don't know, is the headline character of the new Star Wars Battlefront game. And she is played by an Indian-American actress, Janina Gavankar, who, you know, she's the main character of the story. Her character model in the game is like a 3D reconstructor of the actual actress who's playing her. And she's a person of color, a woman of color. At the lead of a Star Wars game, which is a big deal. But there have been conversations about her in a couple of different directions. One, some folks point out how they're glad that, you know, some folks who are actually fans of diversity like to point out that they're glad that she's in Star Wars, but they wish that she wasn't a bad guy. And other folks have pointed out that, well, she's there, but most of the other main characters in the story are still white men, and what's the deal with that? And there have been some conversations back and forth on social media, as there always will be, about this. But I think some of the folks are maybe missing why Iden Versio is such a big deal to us.
And I think it's important to recognize here that this is the first time in the new canon that we're seeing a story on the screen where it's a woman of color purely in the leading role. You can say, yeah, it's great that we're getting Rose Tico in The Last Jedi. It's awesome that we've had Sabine in Rebels, but Sabine's not the main character of Rebels. Rose is not the main character of The Last Jedi. Those roles fall on Rey and they fall on Ezra, who are groundbreaking in their own ways, being that they're people of color and a white woman. But it's not the same. And I think the issue has been for a lot of us that how do I phrase this? Well-meaning white fans have said that Iden is not the right sort of representation for people of color. And to put it bluntly, that just pisses me off. I don't know about you guys, but it just pisses me off to be told what sort of representation is the right kind for me by someone who can't even remotely claim that ethnic being a part of that ethnicity.
Yeah.
And to be clear, we're not talking about any one individual. This is actually something that's been going on for weeks and months. And it's, I think, that constant presence of this line of discussion from a lot of people that has sort of spurred us into wanting this conversation, because maybe, you know, in an ideal world, we would want a lot more representation, but it's not just that we're taking what we can get, but this is a huge step. And I think that folks outside of the group being represented can't see that as well.
Well, and I get that this is, I think for the most part, this undercurrent of conversation is coming from a well-intentioned place, just a really misguided place. I mean, I'm sorry, sometimes I want to see myself as the bad guy too. There's nothing wrong with that, is there?
No, the world's not actually, I can't believe I'm using this metaphor right now, black and white. We're not, you know, we don't always have to be the good guys. We don't always have to be the bad guys. And when we are only seen as occasionally being one of the good guys, it's like, what is it, that M&M metaphor where, you know, if we have 10 M&Ms in our bowl and the white people have like 500 M&Ms in their bowl, then yeah, it's okay to take a couple from yours and put them in, and you know, put them in ours. But if you take a couple from ours, then we have so many proportionally less than they do that the roles are just, it makes sense that we're going to get attached to these sort of characters. And I think that marketing Inferno Squad, they've been saying like heroes on both sides. And yes, Aiden is not always a wonderful person. But I think what Inferno Squad did a good job of with the book was showing that, she's still a hero in the Empire, and she still has qualities about her that are to be admired. Like, she's a very dedicated human being. And I think it's okay to like and see yourself represented in characters who aren't always the perfect angels. To me, that's sort of boring if your characters are always like the good ones and the perfect ones. And I think that's it's a very disingenuous form of representation.
Yeah, it's not only boring, but it's a problem because you run the risk of diversity being almost a prop for the good guys, right? Like, you have, people talk about the dangers of tokenism. Well, if the diverse characters are only the good guys, it means that they're still being used in to send a particular message about the story. Whereas in real life, I think what we want is something that resembles the sheer variety of people in real life. And there are good and bad people all over the world from every possible ethnic, racial, class, national background you can think of. And, the Empire is a evil fascist organization. So, I mean, even though we know that the Empire is that evil fascist organization, there's fascist and nationalist and racist groups all around the world on every continent, in the Americas, in Asia, in Africa, not just Europe. And I think it does the story a disservice to use people of color as just a prop for the good guys without realizing that there are bad people of all stripes all around the world. And that, I think, is real diversity, making sure that the Star Wars universe looks like the real universe and that the bad guys could be any of us, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And on the subject of, fascism, what a great subject. It's also kind of worth remembering that Battlefront's been in the works for a while. Before we had things going on in, like, Charlottesville and somehow Nazis being okay again in certain elements of the U.S. So people are sensitive to sensitive to fascism right now, where in our current sort of American centric discussion. But like you said, Jay, America's not the only place where this happens, and there is merit in examining fascism in our media.
Yeah, and portrayal is not the same thing as endorsement. Like, correct. I've been an Imperial fan for a long time, but I am as far from a fascist fan as possible. And one of the uses of fascism and the Empire in George Lucas's story is that evil is seductive, and regular people get turned to evil, not just the dark wizards of the world. You know, we don't know. I don't know if we have any dark wizards, but you know what I mean.
I might be one.
Yeah, you know, never know with you, Bree, and your First Order love. But hey. The point of the story of Battlefront 2 is not, I think, to valorize the Empire. In fact, everything we've gotten from the trailers and heard from the writers is it's going to be a deep and maybe dark story about vengeance and revenge. And I don't think Iden Versio, I mean, she's going to be a hero of the Empire, quote unquote, but I don't think necessarily the story is going to be pushing the Empire is good as the main takeaway. If anything, you're going to get invested in this character and then feel really, really wrong when you realize the kind of things that the Imperial characters are doing. And that's valuable. That shows you how bad evil is.
I think it's also worth noting that given whatever, going back a little bit to what you guys were saying about there being fascism everywhere, is that while the Empire certainly, and the First Order too, certainly take some inspiration from Nazi Germany, that they are not actually Nazi Germany. And so something that I've seen is people referring to characters like Iden as a space Nazi, and that really has rubbed me the wrong way, especially because it tends to be in the same breath of, well, this isn't the right kind of representation.
I mean, okay, so yes, there is some iconography and imagery in the Empire that does mirror Nazi Germany, but if we look at the actual text and the actual context, the Empire is way more inclusive than Nazi Germany ever was.
And to the extent that they are Nazis, they're, you know, the galaxy's far, far away is equivalent of Nazis, and the history of that galaxy is different from the history of our galaxy. So, you know, we see the Empire being anti-alien because it didn't, in a galaxy where there are aliens, maybe the human-on-human racism that we're used to doesn't make sense. So the Empire can still be that Nazi analog, but they're discriminating against aliens in the context of their story, which is still wrong, and Star Wars should present it as wrong, but it is different.
Yeah, I can't. It's not a one for one correlation all the time, if that makes sense.
No, I think it does. It's absolutely wrong to say that Iden Versio is just a space Nazi. And it's hugely dismissive and shows a real lack and real lack of grasp for really just the context of the universe.
I mean, and hey, I'll admit, like, I'll be the first person to say that I take it a little personally, because Iden's one of the first characters that, while I'm not any part Indian, I am half Chinese, and that my strange mess of genetics has somehow made it so I look kind of like Iden. And I think she is the first character where I can truly remember people saying, oh my God, she looks like you. Which granted might be partially helped by the fact that I'm wearing a costume and I'm done up like her. But to me, it's such a huge thing, because even when we've had characters like Aphra or Jess Pava in the past, I've never really felt like, oh yeah, they look like me because they favor their Asian heritage more than I tend to in my looks. Whereas with Iden, that sounded weird, but I think you guys know what I'm trying to say. Like, it just means a lot to have a character that I actually look like and that I can costume as. And then when you see people on Twitter being like, oh well, you know, it's not the right kind of representation, I don't think this is the right story for right now, it hurts. Like, it honestly genuinely hurts that people think that it's just not the right time for a story that features a woman of color when it's a story we haven't really gotten before.
Well, when is the right time to have a story about a biracial person of color and navigating through just being in this pseudo-fascist empire. It feels like people are saying it's never the time to be able to tell a story like that when a story like that has a ton of value to people like us.
Yeah, and they're always going to be the bad guys, regardless of our moment in history. Like, the Empire was as bad and, you know, is something you don't want to imitate in real life, whether we're talking about 1977 or 2017. It's just that when people say that these characters who look like you shouldn't exist or we shouldn't have stories about them, it comes across as you don't get to play a part in the part of fandom that you're interested in.
It's just really patronizing that we're being told that this thing that we're excited to see because we've never gotten to see ourselves in this kind of role before isn't good for us. Can't we be the arbiters of what is good for us?
Right, and we're not saying people can't say, oh, Empire stories aren't for me, or, oh, maybe this game isn't for me. That is fine. People can like what they want, and they're free to express their opinions. I think the problem is when people start talking about representation for other people and using that as the basis of their argument, that's when we sort of say, wait a second, maybe your voice isn't the most important here. But if you want to say, you know, I don't like the Empire, I find it creepy, I don't like that people are fans of the Empire, fine, you know, go ahead and express your opinion. You are entitled to that. It just recognize that when it comes to representation, there are different nuances we're talking about here.
Yeah, like if you frame this instead of this is bad representation and say instead, I wish that there was a female person of color getting a story like this on the Rebel side. Yeah, great. I agree. That'd be great to see. But just because that doesn't exist doesn't mean this is bad.
And I think part of what makes this has just brought this to a head is that we're coming off of what? The last year of discussion about Rogue One, in which the main cast was on the good guy side was almost entirely people of color, with the exception of Jyn. And half the conversation that surrounded that was, well, there's not enough women, which, yes, there were not enough women in that cast. But there seemed to be a lack of recognition and appreciation for what that film did for people of color. I mean, there were three Asian guys in leading roles in that film. Like, that's a huge freaking deal.
Yeah. Or Diego Luna, like the kind of impact that Rogue One has had on people throughout the world has been really heartwarming to see. And I think people are discounting how important it is to see characters that look and sound like them on screen.
Yeah. And anytime we bring this up, it feels like we're instantly getting our opinions and the value we're taking out of the movies just shoved to the side, so we can focus, so the conversation can be refocused on something that wasn't quite right. No, I'm not done talking about how amazing this was and how important it was.
Right, and it's not to say Rogue One was perfect, right? Rogue One does have a woman problem. It did have an empire problem with all the Imperials looking like, you know, being generic white men.
Crusty old white guys, yeah.
Instead of the empire that we've seen in the books and even the First Order we saw in the movie. But even with those, taking those into account, I think you can have, you can criticize and praise at the same time. It doesn't have to be all or nothing.
Yeah, I think it's important that like the conversation doesn't drown out the other, because when there should have been more women, when you've gotten back-to-back Star Wars films with female leads, when that drowns out the conversation about the importance of getting people of color in larger roles, it sounds like we're being told to wait our turn.
Yeah.
And I'm just tired of being told to wait my turn, because especially now that we're being told, it always feels like we're being told to wait. And I'm finally getting Iden Versio and I don't have to wait anymore. And I'm not going to shut up about how much I love her and how excited I am to see her on the screen.
Well, and okay, listen, we've been getting flack forever from people who would who would dismissively call us social justice warriors. We know those people. We don't care. Where it gets really, really, really frustrating is when people who I do think really do care about diversity just keep telling us to wait.
And it's sort of the well-intentioned commentary that's problematic. Like, for example, with Forces of Destiny and what it's representing for women, I hear a lot of men talking about how they have various problems with it, or they don't think it's good enough, or they should, you know, the episode should be longer, should have a fuller story, et cetera, et cetera. And it's, you know, maybe the men should sit down and let the women be the voices we hear on this. It's the same exact thing with people of color.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. You're allowed to think that, but stop drowning out the signal with a bunch of noise.
I think it's also worth noting, I mean, I know we're going to talk more about Aiden in depth in a future episode, but I think it's worth noting that within Inferno Squad itself, within the book, she wasn't the only person of color. Sen Minaro was an East Asian woman, and Del Miko, his actor, is Middle Eastern. And I think it's, you can tell that like all the actors, okay, for example, I'm blanking on names. Gideon, I think he's certainly aged down a little bit from Paul Blackthorne, but they are all based on their actors. And I think that when you say Aiden is surrounded entirely by white men, that's not accurate.
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
The character appearances are like motion captured 3D, you know, magic. So that is absolutely true.
And I think also if you say, you know, her story is entirely around white men, I mean, I feel like they just keep giving me more things to make me relate to Aiden, because my mother's the Chinese half, my father is the white half. So for me, when I see her talking to her dad, I'm like, granted, I have a way better relationship with my father than I do with Admiral Versio. Like, let me get that out of the way right now.
That's Dadmiral Versio. We need to get the style guide here.
The Dadmiral. Yeah, actually, did I tell you guys that a couple months ago, there was some conversation on one of the 501st forums where someone found the picture that I took with a friend of mine as I made him be my stand-in Dadmiral for a picture. And they thought it was an actual behind-the-scenes still.
That's gotta feel good.
Like, that's how much we pulled it off, which, number one, is incredibly flattering because Janina's gorgeous. And number two, I was just kind of like, oh, okay. I guess my costume looks okay. But someone eventually went, no, that's Chaos Bria. She's one of our members. She's not actually in the game. But, I mean, and actually, we haven't gotten that many biracial characters, like, or characters who are explicitly written as being biracial. Like, can you guys think of any others? I know they've said all the humans in Rebels are multiracial, but
I'm drawing a blank right now. I mean, I can't think of anything else like Battlefront where it's actually shown on screen that she is very clearly biracial.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I could think of is the little Twi'lek human babies in the Clone Wars, and that's not exactly
that's the alien stand-in for diversity trope there.
Yeah. So I guess that means Aiden's another pretty significant first then.
Yeah, because what, Lando never had kids in the EU, right?
No. Yeah. Yes.
He did.
Yes.
Chance.
Chance.
All right. So there's one.
But that's Legends.
Yeah. I just figured there was someone in the audience saying, but Legends, you know, and I'm like, okay, we got you.
We got you covered. We're good here.
We found one. Darman and Etain's kid would have been biracial too. Pretty sure she was white.
Yeah.
But
I mean, aside from, yeah,
on
I
the
mean,
screen like this, it's just Aiden.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. I can't believe that literally just occurred to me.
And hey, another reason we get frustrated when people say this isn't the right kind of representation. There's no other biracial people explicitly shown on screen like this, so sorry.
Yeah, she's Luke Skywalker's opposite in every single way, now that I'm thinking about it. Well, I mean, they're both really good in starfighters. But other than that, they are complete opposites. And that's really kind of cool when you think about it. Like, it's, you're sort of seeing, we're seeing two different sides of a coin in Star Wars.
But yeah, I mean, I want a person of color to go on that Hero with a Thousand Faces, timeless journey on screen in Star Wars. But I also want this with Iden in the Empire.
Yeah, and the bottom line is that, you know, a lot of Star Wars fandom seems about competition. Like, I want my thing, so you can't have your thing. And I think it's nice to just let people have something they enjoy in Star Wars. And there's enough for all of us. There's a lot of room for storytelling. And I think for the people who Iden matters a lot, just let us have this.
Yeah, I think we've had to boil it down to something. I think what I would say is that when you're talking about diverse characters, even if they aren't the exact kind of character that you might want, be cognizant that they don't exist in a vacuum, and that if it's a first, that character probably means something to someone, in this case, Iden, who means a lot to a lot of Asian fans out there, and that maybe just be a little more aware of what you're saying, because Twitter conversations aren't private. We see a lot of things.
Yeah, and it comes, it sometimes comes across, and it's probably not intended this way. I'm sure it's not intended this way, but it sometimes comes across as a slap in the face, or at least sort of a cool down your excitement, you know? And, you know, we want to be excited.
Yeah, and this is a first. We should be allowed to be excited. And saying that this isn't the right kind of representation when you're really not in any of those buckets being represented is not all that appropriate.
Yeah. Any last thoughts on this, guys? Or we pretty much said it all for now.
Yeah, I think we finally gotten our fiery DMs in audio form successfully.
With much less exclamation points, though.
Much fewer and way less caps lock.
Yeah.
My only last thing is, you know, at the end of the day, everyone wants to be in Star Wars. That's it.
So, yeah, it's totally okay. Iden's an Imperial.
Yep. And I love her for it no matter what.
Yep. And I hope at some point soon we also get a person of color in a similar rebel role. But just because that doesn't exist doesn't mean this is bad. And you maybe listen to us before making those kind of declarations that this kind of representation is good or bad.
And on that note, I think that brings us to the end of our first episode. We're hoping to keep this show going, actually, because how can you not keep a show called Kanji Cast going?
Ah, crap. That means I have to do logo art now.
Yeah, it does. You don't want me to draw. You know this.
I'll go when get Heath. Heath.
You know, I'd Zuvio to Kanji Cast, though. Just watch.
I mean, I won't object. So our next couple episodes, or actually our episodes going forward, we're going to try and have things be a little bit less weighty, although we are definitely going to be talking about representation, things that matter to us. Our plan right now is to talk about Sabine Wren in next month's episode. So if there's anything that you want to ask us, tell that to Kanji Guest on Twitter. And anything else, guys? Or does that wrap us up?
I think that wraps us up. All right. So as pre-agreed, I think I'm doing the outro.
Yes, you are. Excellent. I'm not doing it.
Excellent. This episode of the Kanji Cast has been brought to you in part by you, our Patreon subscribers. Head over to Tashi-Station.net. There's a link there on Patreon. $5 gets you into the Tashi Station Network Slack team, where you can chat with us and other contributors to the Tashi Station Network. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles Tashi_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Bria with Chaos Bria. You can find Jay with Admiral Jello. And you can find me with Lane Winry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we are the Tashi Station Network. We don't have a dedicated Kanji Cast feed yet, but you can catch this and other shows on the Tashi Station Network mega feed. You can find that on the iTunes Store, Google Play, and Stitcher. Find our columns, news, and reviews at Tashi-Station.net. Thanks for listening to this pilot Kanji Cast. I'll catch you all next time.
Bye, everyone.